Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, Winning the Sale with Transparency. My name is Eliana Raggio, and I'll be your moderator today. And today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. And for anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, well, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency, best known for our amazing SEO, the absolute best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the brand new Chameleon Responsive Website Platform. We're so committed to lead conversion, optimization, and customer service that Dealer On is still the only company in the industry to offer a money-back lead guarantee program. Does your website company guarantee you a 50% lift in leads or your money back? Well, maybe you should check us out at our gorgeous brand new Dealer On website at DealerOn.com. Also want to let you know that Dealer On will be exhibiting and presenting at the upcoming Digital Dealer Convention in Orlando. If you're going to be there, you got to stop by our booth. It's booth 401. I'm going to be there, so stop by and say hi. We have a great booth. And while you're getting your Digital Dealer On, please also check out the speaking sessions from these amazing Dealer On executives. Remember, it's booth 401. Can't wait to see you there. Oh, and we have a great show in store for you today. We're very pleased to have Bryce Englert as our presenter today. Bryce Englert is the CEO of Trade Pending and a passionate product innovator. After 10 years in the automotive industry buying and running companies, his record in new product launches has been stellar. His latest introduction, Snap, solves one of the most important problems in the sales process, the trade value. Snap uses real market and digital best practices to harvest better conversations with prospects and more organic leads from a dealer's website. Bryce proudly served in the U.S. Air Force, is a respected member of the automotive community, and he can be reached at bryce@tradepending.com. Now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we're going to try to respond to you by email later today. Also, don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference. And please, feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. Oh, and guess what? Our good friends over at Trade Pending, they're giving away an amazing prize today on the webinar. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win an Apple Watch. That's right. This 42-millimeter Apple Watch Sport Edition is the latest technology release and is a beautifully constructed compact smartwatch with solid fitness software, hundreds of apps, the ability to send and receive calls via an iPhone, and so much more. The Apple Watch is the hottest wearable tech device on the market, and it is valued at $399. I am so jealous. I can't win it, but you know what? You can. This is very cool. Awesome prize for you coming into the holiday season. You have to be on the live broadcast to win it, though, so stay tuned. And you could be the one winning this amazing prize today. Also, at the conclusion of the webinar, you're going to receive a short survey. So fill it out, because we're always looking for great feedback from our audience. Today, we're going to randomly select a couple of people from all those completed surveys to also win some Google prizes. And hey, do you tweet much? Well, we hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation, so please tag us in it. You can use hashtag DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. You can also hit up Bryce Englert at Bryce Englert. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. So let's get started. Let's learn how to win the sale with transparency. Bryce Englert, how are you, sir?
Doing very well, Eliana.
Thank you so much for being here today. Now, Trade Pending has this new thing called Snap, which is really, really cool. I don't know, audience, if we're going to be hearing about it today. I hope we hear a little bit about it. But what I really love, Bryce, is that you came on my show on the Dealer On webinar series, and you're talking about something that we've never talked about before. We've never talked about transparency in so much as we've never done a whole webinar on it. We know transparency is important. We don't know why it's important, though. So I hope you're going to be expanding on that as well. And I know the audience today is really looking forward to seeing all the things you're going to be talking about today. So where do we begin? What, I know you have a lot to get to. Where do we start?
So now I'm really glad to be here. Extraordinarily excited the Dealer On hosts these wonderful events, and transparency, you know, is really a very tough topic. It's a buzzword. It's been used quite a bit in our industry for the last few years. So I'm going to hopefully take a little bit of a different angle and, you know, talk about, you know, why transparency. Really break it down into consumer perceptions, not emotive. Get some feedback from this audience. See if there are differences in what they perceive versus what we have run in our own surveys to consumer communities. I think it's important, you know, if we expand outside of automotive and really try to take a look at different consumer experiences in other industries, and how has transparency been utilized? Is it helpful? Is it not helpful? And really, where is that going? So we're going to break that down, and hopefully I can leave folks with a very clear method, you know, to look at, you know, applying transparency and measuring, you know, and asking themselves, are we transparent? What is working and what's not working? And I certainly look forward to the Q&A session at the end of the presentation.
Excellent. Well, we have a lot to get to. So take it away, please, Bryce.
Thank you, Eliana. So let me first just briefly introduce myself. I'm very very hybrid background in a couple different industries. I have an engineering and finance background, and I've been running and developing marketing-based products for about a decade. So I do come at things very analytically, and even the topic of transparency. Hopefully, you'll see how, you know, I really don't want to trust my intuitions or my own perceptions, but rather, you know, let's get some measurements from the people that actually matter, the consumers. I love new products. I love looking at a problem and figuring out a way to solve it. It's really what I've excelled at in the automotive with a few different product introductions. But, you know, all of those come from very creative dealers, wonderful community of dealers that frankly are eager to try to figure out how to solve the next problem. You know, one of the most profound problems, I think, that I was lucky to be involved in was reputation management. And going back almost 6 years ago, we saw big changes going on online, a lot to do with transparency, as a matter of fact. So in some ways, I think I've been trying to understand transparency for quite a while and have a few different products that go that. So let's get started. You know, why is transparency important? I thought I'd put a few collections of quotes and show other people's perspective on transparency in business and specifically, you know, some topics here that we're going to talk about. So first quote, transparency, honesty, kindness, good stewardship, even humor work in business all the time. Very straightforward quote. This is not words to live by, but I think if we all look at what we've done in our careers and we say, you know what, when I've been most successful, I have done these things, and I agree with John here. Another quote, transparency increases the cost of hiding the truth. More efficient interactivity exposes truths that used to be inexpensive to hide. I thought this was an incredibly powerful quote, came out of a book called Extreme Trust, which I am including in my resources later in the presentation. What's interesting with this is if we do think about the automotive industry, and how we have been forced to expose more and more and more, and frankly, interactivity in a mobile environment where half of our customers are interacting with us on a phone, you know, what truths are out there that we haven't thought about? What information do our customers have right at their fingertips that we're having to manage today and also tomorrow? I thought this was just an awesome quote. Third, today power is gained by sharing knowledge, not hoarding it. Transparency is a process of sharing knowledge. And in the automotive industry, there's only two parties. There's dealer and there's customer. One of those parties has more information than the other. It is dealer. They do it every day. They value cars. They sell cars. They service cars. They know more. Ultimately, consumers may come into that cycle for purchasing a vehicle once every 6 years. And when they do get there, sure, they cram and they try to obviously learn as much as they can to build confidence and ultimately trust. But power for the dealership can be achieved, I believe, by sharing a little bit of knowledge into how the business works and things like that, not just for new car sales. There's good debates on you know, fixed pricing and things like that, but we're not going to get into that today. The truth is that the lack of transparency should be the real source of worry. When implemented intelligently, transparency can actually put you and your business in a place of empowerment instead of vulnerability. Wonderful quote. This, frankly, is like a product outline right here within itself. I think there's a lot of product managers, maybe a few on this call, that are looking for roadmaps, and you can take some of these words and really figure out how to make solve problems of the future. All right, last quote. I do not want to give my customers any information.
Absolutely. From the dealer I visited Tuesday morning.
Unfortunately, it is 110% true. I'm fairly certain that this dealer practiced taxidermy on his customers prior to becoming
a
I don't say. But, there are a lot of angles in this, term transparency and what we do and interact online with dealers. There's a split. I certainly see a vast majority of dealerships that understand that there's some need, some problem to solve. But there are some old dogs out there that just say, you know what, I don't want to give any information to my customers. All right. So let's take a look at consumer perceptions of the automotive industry. Hopefully this will expose some differences and things like that. And most of this is going to be through a few polls, which we have two in a row right here. And Eliana, I'll let you take us through those.
We do. All right, audience. We have three poll questions for you today, but we're going to do two of them right now, back to back, all right? So please get involved with these poll questions. It really helps us out to find out what you think is going on in the automotive industry as a whole, but definitely what's happening at your dealership. So the question, first question, is on the screen now. In the future, do you predict that consumers will have more or less information in the automotive buying process? Please select one of the following. Do you believe it's definitely a lot more, somewhat more, somewhat less, definitely a lot less, or they'll get what I give them and they'll like it in my best curmudgeonly dealer voice? I guess I didn't do too good at that. But anyway, let's keep going. In the future, do you predict that consumers will have more or less information in the automotive buying process? Definitely a lot more, somewhat less, definitely a lot less, where they'll get what I give them and they'll like it. And it was funny. Darwin just wrote in. He says he thinks it will be more, but it's going to cost a lot more. And then he says, be careful what you ask for. Thank you, Darwin, for the comments. And audience, thank you so much. We already have almost everyone voting. Bryce, if you're ready for the answers from our first poll question, I'll close the poll and share the results.
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Let's close this poll and share this results. Well, my very savvy audience believes, 91% believe that they will definitely have a lot more information in the automotive buying process in the future. 91%. I got to be honest with you. I've been doing webinars a long time. I have never had a question that had 91% answer one way. So I guess we'll see what happens in the future. The remaining 9% said somewhat more, and then no one answered any of the others. Bryce, do you have any comments on that? Or should we go on to the next
one? This is obviously a layup. I'm surprised 91% as well, Eliana. But we're kind of setting the stage for the next poll question, and I guess most folks that show up for a webinar on transparency obviously believe that there is information. And frankly, most folks, they probably want to understand how they can be the one who delivers this information versus the victim of surprise when that more information is there. So. Let's do the next poll question, I think, which will dive further into one specific aspect of consumer perceptions in automotive. First, though, let's see what our audience thinks.
I absolutely agree with that. Okay, audience, your second poll question is on the screen now. I got to tell you, when I saw this poll question, I did not get the answer right. So hopefully you'll do better on this question than I did. On average, how much net profit did the average franchise dealer make per used vehicle retailed in 2013? Please select one of the following answers. Do you believe it was $2,301, $3,159, $1,251, $925, or $254? Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close the poll and share the results. I'm going to read that question for you one more time. On average, how much net profit did the average franchise dealer make per used vehicle retailed in 2013? And we have A lot of votes coming in. Audience, thank you so much. Wow, almost everyone's voted now. I'll give you a few more seconds. Let's see if we can get those stragglers to vote, too. Let's see how smart you are. And, Bryce, I think you're going to be shocked by these answers. Shocked, I
say. Can't wait to see them.
With literally almost everyone voting, audience, you're awesome today. With almost everyone voting, we're going to close this poll and share the results. Here we go. I did push share. It hasn't done it yet. Okay, there we go. 45% of today's audience think it's $2,301. That was the majority. 11% of today's audience think it's the top price, which is $3,159. Now, a large portion, almost a third, 32% of today's audience believe it's $1,251. 11% of today's audience think it's $925, and only 3% of today's audience believe it's the least amount, $254. So, Bryce, how'd our audience
do? Wow.
I know, right?
I'm shocked. Totally shocked.
How do you think our audience did?
that is a huge surprise, and let's dive in and talk about, you know, why. So the real answer is $254.
What?
That if you ever looked, absolutely.
It was $254.
It was $254. NADA data lays out these facts very clearly once a year. And actually, if you look at the used car section of the 2014, which actually reported on 2013 NADA data, the average net profit per used vehicle retailed was $254.
Okay, as frequent listeners of my show know, I have been very, very blunt and honest about my past experience in the automotive industry, which has never, ever included actually working at a dealership. But me as a consumer, I would have never thought it was that low. I would have never thought that dealerships were making that much little profit on selling a used vehicle. I would have totally thought it was more like $2,000, $3,000.
It's an infinitely interesting truth, which, by the way, 2013 was $254. 2014 was $193.
It went down?
It went down. And that number has been fairly steady if you look back through NADA data over the last decade. So we can certainly talk about how they calculate net profit and things like that, but ultimately think of it as in profitability. And think about it, of course, in perceptions. The average used vehicle is retailed about $17,000. The dealer is putting in their pocket $254 of that. Obviously, it's a volume game. If you can do $254 100 times a month, well, that's $25,000 in your pocket. And, oh, by the way, that's only your used vehicle department. This number, 254, as well as the 193 in 2014, does include used vehicle F&I as well, by the way. So
we have yet to see how it did in 2015. Those numbers haven't come out yet, correct?
Correct. NADA data will report on that probably mid next year on the 2015 average.
Wow. All right. Fascinating. Keep going.
There is a big difference between gross and net. A lot, and every dealer that's on this call understands, you know, the work that goes in. So let's take a look, though. How do your answers compare to a consumer audience? And so on this slide, we ran a Google Consumer Insight Survey. These are the results that they provided to us on the same question. A little bit different phrase to a consumer, but how much net profit do they believe dealers make on average per used vehicle retail or sold to consumers? Now, I wrote down the answers that you guys gave me on this call, and 97% of you thought the answer was more than $254. Incredibly, 88% of consumers thought it was more than $254. So consumers are giving you more credit than you're actually giving yourself, or whichever way you want to look at that. But if you look at the consumer breakdown, it's the perceptions of profitability for what the automotive retailer has is way out of whack. Over 50% of consumers, you know, believe you're making over $2,000 net profit for every car that you sell. Now, course, the real number, 254, that comes down to about 1.5% net profit margin. What is Apple's net profit margin on that iPhone you just bought yesterday? Almost 40% net profit.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. You know, in an industry where there is conflict on pricing and things like that, the perceptions are so out of whack to reality that perhaps there is something in the future that allows, you know, consumers, you know, to be educated, you know, a little bit more on the business, a little bit more about what goes into being a dealership and things like that. So I'm sure we'll get some questions on this. I look forward to those. Let's move on to our next topic, though. Let's take a look at some other industries and what they have done and where they stand in transparency, and use that as a truth to come back and then talk a little bit more about the automotive industry. So what industry should we talk about? Well, we should talk about the ones where people transact. They sell things and they buy things. And ultimately, that is what we do with our pot of money. So if you look at the U.S. Department of Labor, in 2010, last census data, this is the distribution of where your money went as a consumer. 35% of your dollars go to pay for housing, 16% for transportation, 13% for food, so on and so forth. It's interesting. And frankly, it's an honor to be in an industry, you know, where 16% of all household income goes to support. Now, we're one part of transportation, but it is a very, very large part, of course. So over 50%, of course, housing and transportation combined, just over 50%, is really only two. So these are the biggest considerations. These are probably the biggest friction points for a consumer when they ever transact. Selling a house, buying a house, selling a car, buying a car. You know, then you look at the other things and you realize why healthcare needs to get there, is motivated. I'm sure that stat, by the way, is about 6%. But, you know, the day we spend more money on healthcare than we do food, maybe that's going to be an interesting time for us. So let's break down some of these categories. Let's look at real estate. Let's look at the housing industry. How is transparency, you know, used in real estate? Well, for one, we all know realtors. Like them, love them, doesn't matter. Most folks have bought or sold a house. And when we do go through the process, let's start with considering selling the house. You know, what do we do? You know, we consult someone who does it more often than us. We use a realtor, and they give us information. We talk about our needs. We talk about what we've had in the past, what we like, what we don't like. We ultimately look at neighborhoods. This is a great graphic, really broken down of the process of making a decision on buying a house, and certainly all the considerations that you also think about when you're selling a house. One location, where do you want to be? Relevance. Relevance for housing, of course, it says here, and I'll read it because it's a little small. You know, look at more recent sales, dating 4 to 6 months back, as a stronger indication of market performance. Absolutely. Comps, which are in the location, give you a good guide, but let's look at recent comps. You know, factor in costs. What are the actual costs that we're going to have to pay to sell this house or to buy this house? And that's all always worked out, of course, in the agreement. And then there is basis. There is basis for understanding and talking common language. You know, most of the time it's price per square foot. Sure, I've got granite and they don't. Mine's worth there for $2 more per square foot or something like that. But there's always basis. And when you go through an appraisal of the house, are they just wildly throwing numbers out? No, not at all. So imagine for me, for a few seconds, imagine selling a house or buying a house, you know, without any knowledge of where you are, what market you're actually looking to do it in. None. Imagine having no reference to any comparable transactions, no basis whatsoever, no knowledge of any market supply, popularity, or health, and you never have an opportunity to discuss any of this. How would that process go? It'd be kind of difficult, wouldn't it? And I'm telling you, as we'll kind of close up, this process is practiced every day in automotive. Ultimately, it's a 100-year-old process that I will name it a little bit later. All right, let's move on. Let's take a look at insurance. You know, when you do look to purchase insurance, you know, there are tons of resources. As a matter of fact, one company came out about 10 years ago and really surged on the scene. They were called Progressive. And what did they do? They give you a quote from them, and then they give you other quotes from other providers. make shopping a little bit easier. And look underneath those numbers. You understand the basic terms. There's basis. Are these equivalent policies? What's going to work for me? What's not? And that is used by millions of consumers to make good decisions and feel comfortable. Ultimately, they're building trust with who? Their insurance salesperson or within themselves to make a solid decision. Once again, imagine buying insurance without any alternatives. You single source, oh, how much is it? Oh, it's $3,500. As a matter of fact, I did that with my housing insurance one time. I unfortunately thought that USAA would be the best. Turns out they weren't. They overcharged me about $2,000 a year. That's another story. But
wow.
Imagine doing this without any comps, no knowledge, and no discussion of really what it is that you need. All right, let's come back to one that is highly transactional, the stock market. Is there any transparency in the stock market? Well, they try, that's for sure. There's entire, you know, commissions set up to be able to regulate it. But when you, a consumer, ultimately want to look at what's going on, with this asset that I own? I have a stock.
In Facebook?
Yeah. There you go. We have the most efficient market in the planet to be able to reference. Certainly the automotive industry is not the same as this. But in this, we understand from a stock quote many, many factors, especially what did other people pay for this? What are the people asking for this stock? What is the buy and the sell? And ultimately, what's the volume of the stock? Is it hot today? Average volume is 28 million. Today there's 19 million. It's almost close at the end of the day. No, it's been kind of a slow market. Tons of information here, of course, and machines, you know, can chew at a lot of this, and they create, you know, high efficiency trading, and then we as consumers lose because we have brains and have to make decisions once a month or so in regard to that. So imagine, once again, selling or buying a stock without any knowledge of the company. No comparable transactions, no knowledge whatsoever, and no discussion of your goals. Basically, you get a broker who calls you and says, I got something to sell you for 55 bucks a share. If you said yes to that, then I want to be your broker. Probably would not happen, but guess what? It's happening every day in automotive, every single day. And we wonder why there's no trust issue. Well, there's no transparency. So last, let's take a look at food, right? Ultimately, back to my reputation roots, you know, we've seen a lot of access to data, information, and whether you're buying a car or going to look at where good Indian cuisine may be in your area, you have access to these tools such as Yelp to be able to figure out, you know, what other people have had. Frankly, you can go on Yelp and figure out what you're going to order based on popularity, based on feedback. And when you walk into the grocery store, when you look at the steak counter, without transparency, what would you decide what to eat, right? I don't know. The filet kind of looks pretty good, but this one's nice and marbled. That looks a little tastier. But imagine buying a steak with no transparency. You've got no information on the cut, no comparable cuts. You don't know if that one's better or worse. You don't really know what they rank, you know, for pricing. You have no idea how old the meat is.
How old the meat is.
No,
there you go. That's the one thing I always look at is when did they actually cut the meat?
Ask your butcher. He'll tell you right there. Give me a recent transaction, sir. So my point is, of course, that in all these other major categorical spends, whether you're selling or buying, there is a plethora of information to reference. But for some reason, when a customer trades in a car, we look at a book value. And ultimately, that gives us a number. So let's take a look at the automotive industry and transparency. You know, let's not focus just on trades, though. Let's take a look at the entire sales process. In the end, transparency can be applied to build knowledge, right? We're transferring knowledge back to some of those earlier quotes. And we really need to dial in to understand what are the questions that our customers have. It's interesting when I do talk to dealers and you take a step back, you know, we can talk about all these tactical tactics to get more traffic, you know, sell more cars, do this, you know, increase growth, so on and so forth. But in the end, when you're dealing with a customer, you're just there to answer their questions, whether they're on your website or they are in your showroom. How quickly and easily and efficiently and appropriately can you answer these questions? So with that, we have our third and final poll question. And Eliana, I'll let you walk us through that.
Thank you so much, Bryce. All right, audience, your last poll question is on the screen now. We want to know what you think. When this is a great question, by the way. When visiting a dealer's website, what services do you feel that your customers value? Now, for this question, we want you to select all that apply. So don't just pick one answer, unless, of course, that's the only answer you think is appropriate. But we want to see all that apply. So pick all of them that you think your customers really value. Do you think that they really like to see the feature that says search for a new or used car? Do you think it's the scheduling a service appointment feature that the customers really, really enjoy? How about the value your trade feature? Do you think customers are all about scheduling a test drive? Or do you think applying for finance is what customers are really after? When visiting a dealer's website, what services do you think your customers value all the time? So searching for a new or used car, scheduling a service appointment, value your trade, scheduling a test drive, or applying for finance. And almost everyone's voted. Votes are still coming in, so audience, thank you so much for getting into this. Last poll question of today's broadcast. Once we get some more votes in, we're going to close the poll and share the results. And Bryce, wait till you see these answers.
I can't wait.
Also, we had a comment come in from Christian. Christian says he read a great book called Velocity 2.0 from Dave Pollack. Just thought I'd throw that out there because Christian wrote it in, and that's what I do around here. I read what people say.
It's a great book, and actually I think you'll see, you know, one of the resources that I'll mention later on is certainly some wonderful posts, media, and written by Dale. Dale's been a big part of discussion on transparency.
I love it. I love it. Okay, Bryce, if you're ready, I'll close this poll and share the results.
Can't wait to see it. Let's take a look.
All right, let's go. All right, 91% of today's audience. I got another, that's 291% in one day. I never had that happen, ever. 91% of today's audience think that their customers value the search for a new or used car feature. 67% say it's schedule a service appointment that really helps customers out. 70% of today's audience feel the value your trade feature is where it's at. 42%, so that's the lowest out of all of the answers, feel that scheduling a test drive is what customers are really, really valuing. And 67% say that applying for finance is very important to their customers. Bryce, do you have answers for these?
I do. And this is, once again, very interesting compared to what we've heard from consumers. So this is the question we asked 1,000 consumers. We've ran this now twice. We update it once each year. And specifically, we asked consumers, when you do visit an auto dealer's website, what services would you value? Select all that apply. Now, you'll notice on this also, we wanted to identify, you know, online chat. So one thing that really stuck out is that dealers perceive that consumers truly value all this stuff, where consumers tell us, you know what, actually don't. So perhaps they're there just to get directions or a phone number. But once again, the consumer, you know, has different preconceived notions about what they may be able to do on a dealer's website. What is not different at all is the rank. So here you can see consumers came back and 53% identified researching a new and used piece of inventory. Now, many of them may be able to assemble inventory on an OEM site, third-party site, or other things like that, so maybe they don't want to go to a dealer's website. That's what they're indicating. Of course, we do have to have one. 40% mentioned researching the value of a trade-in, so on and so forth. You can see that chart. Now, your answers were searching for a car, valuing a trade, scheduling a service appointment, mm-hmm. financing, and then test drive. So just a little bit of an order difference there at the bottom where our attendees here ranked apply for financing higher than what a consumer ranked. This is a meaningful study. Yeah. This is, I believe, a slight measure of consumer behavior. What are they willing to do today versus what consumer behavior is going to be in 5 years. We talk about online transactions and e-commerce and automotive, and the reality is that we have to have consumer behavior and dealer behavior shift to be able to enable that online transaction. We are on that path. I think no one would disagree with that. How we get there, how fast we get there, what tools are there to help, you know, many of those innovations are happening today. But I do believe to get there, we have to understand the role of transparency for all of these things, all of these questions. And so with that, let's break it down. Let's take a look at transparency when you're looking for a new or used car. Now, I've masked the identity of this dealership, but I'm a consumer. I've come into your website. And I want to buy a car. I want to buy a 2010 Ford Focus. It turns out that, guess what? You have one listed on your page. Now, tell me, what information am I gaining from this page? There's no price. There's no image. There's nothing. There's no comments. There's no aging. There is nothing for me to reference here. So am I going to buy that car?
Wait. That was an actual VDP? Like, you didn't make this up?
That is an actual VDP. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You don't see them that often, but they still exist. And this may be from that same dealer that I mentioned earlier that didn't want to give those consumers any information.
I mean, even the vehicle comments, it doesn't talk about that vehicle. It says we have a wide selection of pre-owned
vehicles. It's pretty atrocious. But, you know, let's look at bad. Let's look at good. Let's look at the alternative. There's a lot of examples here. You know, for one, I certainly wanted to put together a dealer on example, but let's break down a few elements of transparency that are happening within this dealer shopping experience. A, here's an SRP. A lot of comparative opportunities, a lot of filtering opportunities. Clearly, price is listed, but on the, say, most important page, I love what's going on in the website world to be able to add some elements like we're seeing here that I have arrows in. Not only do we have pictures of the vehicles and all the information and great comments, you know, further down the line, it's laid out nicely. It's simple to find my answer. I don't have to dig. I don't have to click and go to five different pages to be able to get to it. Ultimately, I'm given a price reference. Oh, recent price drop, $2,100 since December 5th, 2015. Guess what? That's something to discuss. Do you get a lead on the car? They may ask, hey, I noticed the price is going to drop. Is that going to happen again sometime soon? No, we want to let you know because, yep, we oftentimes, once inventory gets aged, we do price drop. This one's already gone through that process. It's really well priced. So you should be pleased with that. Oh, by the way, 139 people have also looked at this car. One person's inquired on it. This is good information. And instead of having no information, frankly, all we're doing is inviting a debate here. We're providing enough information so that we, the dealer, when we converse with the customer, we can relate to information and not debate. So let's take a look at other information. Here's actually the bottom of that BDP, and you can see customers have viewed this. Check out these other cars. You know, we want to be able to show multiple options, you know, the consumer. Oh, you like that car? Perhaps you're going to like that car. Just enables a better shopping experience. Let's take a look at the trade. All right. This is what we've lived with for about 100 years. As a consumer, this is a report on a car. I've masked the identity of who produced this report. But the page really doesn't give you any information, does it? Ultimately, I got a price, $16,379. What do I do with that? If I'm going to call you and say, hey, what are we giving you on my car? What are we really going to discuss? Well, we're going to discuss the number because that's the only number. Or better yet, now we're going to have to debate condition. I said my car is in very good condition. You tell me my car is not in very good condition. Let's debate. Does that build trust? No. How can we be transparent? So imagine for me being able to relate to the consumer the information that you know or tools that you use may be able to contain that tools. Imagine having a conversation with someone, and if you are from a BDC on this, I talk to BDC reps all day long that say, you know what, if I know their trade, I know the customer. I probably know what they paid. I know what their payment was. I know what they liked. I know their mileage. I know how they drive and things like that. So what if we were talking about, you know, their vehicle in terms of supply? Oh, by the way, did you know there's 32 of your 2011 Acura TLs within 250 miles? There's quite a few of them. we know these cars. I can tell you exactly what the market is for your car. And, oh, by the way, here is how popular it is. You know, if you compare your cars to all other cars that are on the market, it's about a 5, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10. Popularity, of course, and back to your inquiry there with Velocity 2.0, we as a community and dealers for the last decade have really understood demand. Demand may be the most important factor for what a vehicle is worth today, because how fast can that vehicle sell? What if we were to talk about that with the consumer? And, oh, by the way, we're going to give you information. Even if you don't decide to sell your car or trade your car today, if you put it on Craigslist, on average it's going to take 28 days to sell. Do you have that time? Or can I be a convenience for you? What if we actually showed them the market for their car? What if we produced a list, or in this graphical form, you know, a visualization of all the data? And based on mileage, which is the x-axis, and value, which is the y-axis, what if I were able to discuss with you why it is that I can pay what I can pay based on other cars that are in the market? And what if I could show you visually, oh, by the way, your TL is a great car. It happens to be the fourth highest mileage car within 250 miles.
Hmm.
You have to recognize, are you buying the highest mileage car from me? No. Now you have an opportunity to converse. Tell me, Eliana, why does your car have so many miles? Do you expect your driving habits to change?
No.
Just a little transparency. It could go a long way, right?
I mean, that's
ultimately
that's an eye-opener right there. Because, I mean, well, I think that's one of the major, you know, when consumers complain, they complain a lot about how they feel that they got shorted on their trade-in value. They thought that they should have gotten more money.
It is a huge point of friction. Zero information sharing by all traditional methods of associating value of a vehicle. And ultimately, supply and demand do bookend value, right? Supply and demand move stocks. Supply and demand move houses. Supply and demand move stocks. Supply and demand move cars. And in the dealer world, certainly the used car world and the trade-in world, 67% of all used vehicles retailed came from trades. That's another NADA stat. So ultimately, this is a huge source of not only profit and revenue, but also a huge source of customer relationships. You know, we may retail 17 million units this year new. We're going to retail just shy of that, about 15 million units used. And those 15 million are all new customers potentially, right? So let's take a look at the service department. All right, here's an RO. Imagine if you delivered for your customers an RO that looked like this. Repairs, $817. How would that go? Eliana, would you pay that bill?
That would not go good at all. I'd be like, yo,
probably,
dude, what am I paying $817 for?
Absolutely. So guess what? We fill out things. There's information here. Is everyone in your service drive upset with you? No, because you share information. You need this. This is how much that may cost. And, oh, by the way, when you pay, here's an itemized list. This is not rocket science. We apply transparency everywhere in the dealership. Service, of course, most profitable department for the dealers. And generally, full transparency as far as what went on, what it cost, how long it took, so on and so forth. Right?
Right.
So, all right, let's wind it down a little bit here. So, you know, applying transparency to the automotive process, if you looked at ultimately what a consumer is doing, from researching, shopping, finding a vehicle, inquiring, visiting, buying, what are the types of things that dealers need to do? Well, this is just my view of the world. You know, researching is all about the brand and experience. There's not one thing you have to do. You have to do a lot of things as a marketer in the automotive industry. You know, when a consumer's shopping, you got to put your cars out there. And you've got to tie in good follow-up process from your BDC, ultimately, for when they find your car, you can capture that lead. When someone does inquire, whether they walk in or they call in or email in, guess what? You got to converse. You've got to discuss with them. A little information sharing goes a long way to get that appointment. And when the customer is in the store, we know there's going to be objections, there's questions. We know how to overcome those and sell cars, and ultimately we can reach an agreement. here's a transparency scorecard. Write it down, but score yourself. And, you know, I've kind of filled in, you know, a mock one here myself. But take a look at those key categories that we know that consumers value. What cars do you have in pricing, details, service RO details, financing disclosures, process, and trade-in information? And rate yourself on an A to F scale. If you think you're doing great, put an A+. If you're not doing great, put a D-. But in the end, score yourself. See how you're doing. So, last two slides. Six things, actually, for you to do. One, do take a look at other industries. You know, understand that. It really opened up my eyes as I was building this industry or this presentation, what other industries were doing. You know, deeply consider what your customers need. What questions do they have? And also, go measure your own interactive experiences in relation to those questions. Time yourself. All right, I am a trade buyer. I am looking for an F-150, a blue one with this many miles. Go time yourself. How fast can you navigate your own website to get to an answer? And then make an inquiry. Do it in a browser. And, oh, yeah, go back and do it on your mobile device. Count the number of clicks. Is it 45 thumb actions to get to an answer? That's not realistic. It's not going to happen. That's room for improvement. Complete your transparency report card. Figure out if you can share more information with your customers. And guess what? Most importantly, create a conversation. Let's talk. We love customers. Let's have good conversations with them. So, Eliana, you asked me to put together a list of some good resources.
Yes.
I've got four book covers here, a couple on transparency, as well as one of my favorites on sales, Jack Daly. He's not really an automotive-related sales guy. I've seen him speak before. Frankly, I think he is more of a good life coach. He is an Ironman and holds a lot of value in, you know, really setting his goals and operating, you know, with the utmost of respect and professionalism. And then some great links. By the way, there is a good discussion that Deal Refresh has posted that I kind of helped initiate. Really, Jeff Kirschner and the team there, you know, spurs those on fantastically. But, you know, there is a discussion of what ways could Deal be more transparent. What's interesting about that discussion as I looked at it ongoing is most dealers' minds goes directly into the new car price. Do not stop there. It's not all about the new car price. There's lots of areas to be able to apply transparency, as we talked about. One person mentioned Dale Pollack, and, of course, Viato. They've got great resources, including one that I put on there. Transparency doesn't kill gross. It can't hold gross, and you can look at the title of that. And then the last link is just a wonderful automotive news article on why dealers should embrace the age of transparency. Good resources. And, Eliana, I think this is when I give it back to you.
Thank you. Bryce, that was fabulous. Thank you. That was really good. Audience, do you have any questions for Bryce Englert? Remember, he's the CEO of Trade Pending. Get those questions in. We're going to be getting to the Q&A session in just a moment. Oh, yeah, that's right. Before we do that, though, we got some fun stuff to take care of. I hope you're ready. It's that time. If you missed it at the beginning of the webinar, well, I announced that our good friends over at Trade Pending, they're giving away an amazing prize today on the webinar. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win an Apple Watch. That's right, baby. It's a 42-millimeter Apple Watch Sport Edition. It's the latest technology release. It's beautifully constructed. It's a compact smartwatch with solid fitness software, hundreds of apps, the ability to send and receive calls via an iPhone, and so much more. Yeah, I'm jealous. I'm jealous right now. I'm not able to win this, but one of you guys is going to be able to win this. Perfect for the holidays. So get ready. Get to your keyboards. Be the first person to write in the correct response to our giveaway question, and you're going to be winning this awesome prize today. Yes, it's valued at $399, and now the vendors, you know we love you, but we're going to please ask you to sit this out. This prize is intended for dealership personnel only. We do love you, though, so thank you so much for coming today. But dealers, if you're ready, here we go. Good luck, everyone. It's not an easy question, so I hope you guys are paying attention. Okay. Earlier in the show, Bryce told us that the net profit that the average franchise dealer made per used vehicle retailed in 2013 was $254. I see all you people writing in $254. You just hold on there. All right? The question is, what was it in 2014? What was it in 2014? That's the trick question. Oh, my gosh. We have a lot of people writing in. Hold on, everyone. Let me scroll up. Let's see who the first person to write in. Ooh, we do have winners, though. Okay, first person to write in the correct response of $193 is Tess Rocha. Rocha? I don't know how to say your last name, but Tess, you have just won yourself an Apple Watch. Congratulations, Tess. You are a winner today. Woo-woo! Let's hear it for Tess. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's only me and Bryce on here. Hey, Bryce, let me hear some clapping from you.
Woo-hoo! Way to go, way to go.
Tess, do me a favor. Write on in. Let me know what dealership you're from. And also, I'm going to need a mailing address for you. We are going to be drop shipping that directly to you from Amazon. Is that right, Bryce?
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
Straight from Apple.
Straight from Apple. Even better. So, Tess, what dealership are you from? Tim, Bryce did accomplish his mission. He did say the secret word. And AJ is clapping for you, Tess. Tess, we're still waiting for you. Thank you, everyone, for playing along. Now, listen, I know not everyone can win an Apple Watch every day when they come onto my webinar. But don't worry, because we give away cool prizes every week. So if you didn't win today, and I know only one of you didn't not win today, then come on back to another Dealer on Webinar. We give away cool prizes every week, and who knows? That next Dealer on Webinar might be your lucky day to win, all right? Okay, so Tess is with Turner Automotive, Inc. in Montrose, Colorado. Congratulations, Tess. Now send on in your mailing address so we can get that Apple Watch out to you as quickly as we can. And, of course, congratulations, Tess. Thank you, everyone, for playing along. And we've got to thank our good friends over at Trade Pending for their incredible generosity. That was really awesome. All right, Bryce, are you ready for some questions from the audience?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. Okay, your first question comes from Andy. That's actually a really good question. Andy says, is it possible to be too transparent? Which kind of goes to Allison's question, too. Allison says, is there anything we shouldn't share? So I don't know if it's the same question or not. But, Bryce, what do you think? Is it possible to be too transparent?
I think so. You know, I think that there is a level of information, you know, that every customer is comfortable, you know, with knowing. And if you look at the other industries, you know, that we've, you know, studied, let's take a cue from that. You know, look at the savvy, you know, real estate investor. How much information are they really drilling into? Much more than the casual buyer, you know, who has bought one or sold one, you know, house in the last 20 years. So I think you really do need to base that on the personality of, you know, the consumer. How they inquire. What are they mentioning to you about what is important? Good open-ended questions, I think, you know, can give that. But yes, I do think there's too much, there is trouble with that. And information overload can be confusing. But I think that there's some areas in automotive that we have to be more transparent in if we ever expect A, to get to an environment of online e-commerce, and B, also to regain trust. You know, we cannot be continually hammering our customers. We have to understand there's parties that are coming on the scene that want to rob you of your used car business, and they oftentimes are coming at it saying, hey, we are the transparent party. That's why we're going to get, you know, a big piece of this trillion-dollar market. Long answer. Sorry.
No, you're doing just fine. You're doing just fine. And then Allison's question, I don't think you really hit it, but is there anything that you shouldn't share?
So, yes, you know, similar to what I was saying, I don't think that you have to you know, break down every last detail of a buying order, or, you know, what comes in the invoice when they're purchasing a car, nor do they have to understand, you know, exactly, you know, you know, all of, you know, the market forces that may come into play and how you're pricing cars, things like that, basically what they can understand. Specifically, I would think that, that some consumers, you know, are going to get confused, you know, if you do start talking profit. But I do believe, you know, there is a method to communicate more information without talking profit. I hope that answers your question.
Which brings us to our next question, which comes in from Mike. Now, this is interesting because I've seen a lot of dealers do this. Mike says, do you think we should have more than one price on the website? I don't know if you've seen this before, Bryce, but some dealers have like an MSRP, plus they have like an online price, and then they have like a discounted price. I don't know. They have, I remember seeing one dealership and it had like three different prices on one car. So should we not be doing that? Do we need to let people know how much we're making on the cars?
Good question. And you know, my first caveat is I'm not an expert on that. But I will tell you that I've spoken with folks that have tested that. And good companies like DealerOn, they test that stuff all the time.
All the time,
Do an A-B test. All the time. How do you get the best conversion on your website? Well, you test that. Did two prices work better than one? Maybe it's different for your store than it is the other store. So I don't think there is any one answer to that. I've heard most folks, you know, discussion on that, trying to, you know, have a single answer. But I think the real answer, once again, I have not tested myself, so I can't tell you, is test it. And if you don't have a platform that can test it, I could probably tell you somebody who does have a platform that you can test that.
Okay, we did have a couple comments on that. Anthony wrote in, he said, some states require that. Now, that I didn't know. And AJ said, if for nothing else, you should show a discount just to let them know that you do have discounted it.
Okay. Good point.
Good point, AJ.
I like it.
All right, next question. Oh, we did have this question I wanted to get to. This one came in from Christian. Bryce, do you remember saying something about NADA information? 67% of sold cars came from trade-in cars or something like that. What was that exact thing that you said?
Good question. So NADA data, it's about a 20-page PDF. I read it religiously and have for a decade. If you download the 2013 or 2014 report, there's a wonderful in our section pie chart. And it lists, you know, sources of used vehicles retailed. That's the title of it. And if I recall, there's two categories that build to 67%. There is, anyhow, if you add those, it's 67% of used vehicles that were retailed came from trade-in. So they break it down, trade-in for a used car, trade-in for a new car. And you add both those up, and it's 67%.
Wow.
I should have probably put some of those screenshots from the NADA report on this presentation. So
it is
very accessible.
Bryce, next time, baby. Next time, Bryce.
Absolutely.
All right, follow-up question from Christian again. We only have a couple questions left, all right, and then we'll be closing out the show.
Great.
Christian says, I was surprised by the rating of the live chat in the survey you showed. My question is, in this digital evolution where consumers have a very short attention span and easily will leave if not attended to, isn't live chat very valuable and maybe even a must-have?
I agree, and I think it is. You know, don't when we're asking that question of consumers, what services would you value? Now, recognize that they are not voting any of those services that they don't value them. Therefore, you know, the fact that chat is pervasive, it is used, yes, it is needed, I believe. Not everyone's going to use it, of course, and chat is evolving. I think chat is a wonderful medium to be able to share information. That is a transparent, you know, channel. You know, when people chat to you, do you only chat back, when can you come in, when can you come in, when can you come in? No, you're there to answer answer questions. So, yeah, don't misperceive that that survey is you know, a vote as far as what technology you should put on your website. It's simply an indication of what consumer perception may be from a value perspective.
Yeah, and Christian, just so you know, I've never used chat and then didn't buy the product. That's just me. Every time I've used CAD and I got my question answered, I used it. I bought the product.
I think there's probably a disconnect from what consumers think they can achieve through chat on a dealer's website and what they actually can. You know, do they know they can actually get information, or are they going to get just hit back, when can you come in, when can you come in, when can you come in? Mm. So if you're there and you can open up that channel for, sharing information, sharing knowledge, I think consumers would absolutely love that experience. It's very efficient.
All right, Kristen, great question. Thank you so much. Okay, last question comes to you from Tom. He says, this is always a great question, any ideas how to get management to agree to be more transparent? Bryce? That comes from Tom.
Good question.
Yeah, good question.
We talk to dealers every day, and Tuesday I had a conversation with a general manager that said, I don't want to give customers any information, and I'll tell you, that individual, that store, is not going to adopt transparency in any process. Hopefully, I've communicated a little bit of information that may help them in the future. I think those people are aging out. So I do think that, if your store, has a misperception of transparency, open up the conversation. It's not just about fixed pricing for a vehicle. That's not transparency. And it doesn't just apply to the vehicle. Let's talk about the whole store. Let's talk about the entire process. Once again, going back to that scorecard, many pieces of the puzzle, you're probably doing really well from a transparency perspective. And I think find a good story. I have references. I am happy to introduce you to other BDCs, managers, used car managers, and folks who strongly believe this is a real important part of their business. It's a differentiator. And, oh, by the way, that comes back into branding. It comes back into loyalty. And we all know if you're going to burn down every customer that comes through the door tomorrow, they're not going to come in there in 4 to 5, 6 years. My VP of sales has a retail background. He's seen it all, certainly in a competitive Jersey market where he lives. He sees probably a few more stores. That do still try to really hide a lot of information from consumers. But once again, I think those the percent of those dealers is really going down. Talk to a guy like AJ Maida. Do you see what he's doing? He always has good ideas.
Ironically, he's on right now, and he wrote in. I was just about to say, we have a few more comments, and then we have one last question that just came in. So AJ Maida just wrote in. He says, the number one response for chat, I don't know the answer, but I can get back to you. What's the best way to contact you? Email, text, or phone. And then Darwin wrote in, he believes you should show your manager that you can handle the information and not turn a buyer into a shopper. Interesting, Darwin. Thank you. All right. Bryce, one last question for you came in from Elmer. Elmer says, do you have any stats on gross or volume from more transparent dealers versus non-transparent dealers? And Elmer, right. before Bryce answers that, let me just put out there that I think transparency is like a rainbow. I don't think you could say, well, these dealers are transparent and these dealers aren't transparent. I think there's many levels of transparency, and some dealers are more and more and more and more transparent, and then you have the most transparent. So I don't know if that can ever be truly measured. I don't know. And then I think some dealers think that they're transparent, and they're really, really not compared to others. So Bryce, with that, I'm going to let you try and answer that very difficult question.
I don't have stats. I could keep it that simple, because just like Eliana had, where do I draw the line on a dealer who was transparent versus not, and how do I get access to all their information, such as gross, like you'd mentioned. I think that there are dealers in our community that have seen an evolution of transparency themselves. I do have, once again, references and introductions to people to say, how did that turn out to help your profitability? How did that help your customer, CSI, not just CSI, but ultimately, retention and loyalty? And it's going to be difficult to compare one dealer to another quantitatively, but there is a lot of qualitative, conversation to be able to have, just have good ideas. Hopefully I've given you guys, a few decent ideas today.
Question from Eliana, by the way, Bryce. Do you happen to know the names of a few dealers who are particularly transparent?
I do, and I've not asked their permission to give their name on this webinar, but my email address is right there, and I'd be more than happy to make any point-to-point introductions. There's probably a few friends that I have on this webinar, and if you would like your information given on the webinar, please just write in to Eliana.
Well, AJ made a run.
No one volunteered, did they? No, did anyone volunteer, Eliana?
AJ did. That's AJ Thomas did, Dodge. Right?
I got to tell you, it's not a bad place to start. If he doesn't know the answer, you know, he has a lot of friends that will know the answer. And maybe you want to listen to multiple answers. I think that's actually a really good idea, too. You should have more discussions than just one.
Well, Bryce, this was definitely an amazing webinar. It was eye-opening, and I love when I do a webinar and I actually walk away with learning something that I never thought I would learn. So thank you so much, Bryce. And audience, if you want to know more about Trade Pending and their awesome new feature, Snap, well, as you can tell, Bryce is pretty darn sharp, and he's an awfully nice guy. So I would highly recommend you email him or, you know, text him or call him directly and see what he can do to help you at your dealership. Bryce, thank you so much. I hope this isn't the last time I get to see you on a Dealer On webinar, sir.
Thank you, Eliana. Really enjoyed it, and thanks to all the attendees.
Excellent. I want to remind the audience that a link to download a copy of this webinar recording is going to be emailed to you later today for your reference. Please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. It was a great one. Today's webinar is also going to be posted online within 24 hours, so go to dealeron.com/webinars. From there, you can view our upcoming webinar schedule or access any of our past webinars. Also, at the conclusion of this webinar, in just a moment, you're going to receive a short survey. It's very short, 6 questions. Please fill it out. We're always looking for great feedback from you. Today, we're going to randomly select a couple of people from all those completed surveys to also win some Google prizes. And yeah, I want to let you know that DealerOn is going to be exhibiting and presenting at the upcoming Digital Dealer Convention in Orlando. Actually, Bryce, you're going to be there too. I'm going to get to meet you in person.
I should, yes, absolutely.
Excellent. So everyone in the audience, if you want to meet Bryce in person, you got to come to Orlando. Now, we're going to be at booth 401, so stop by and say hi. We've got a great booth. We're going to be getting our Digital Dealer On, and also we have some speaking sessions from these wonderful Dealer On executives. Now, don't forget, Digital Dealer, January, booth 401. Can't wait to see you there, all right? And invitations will be going out tomorrow for our very last Dealer On webinar of the year. And let me tell you, it's a doozy. How to become a 30-plus car salesperson. That's right. Well, you know what? Mike Davenport did it, and he's going to show you how. He's an award-winning salesperson at the top of his game who consistently pushes out more than 30-plus units a month. While his hustle, grind, and work ethic are notably impressive, there's no denying that his branding strategies and proven techniques have brought him phenomenal success. And now he's ready to share them with you. Are you ready to learn what it takes to become a 30-plus car salesperson? In this amazing one-hour webinar, Mike is going to share the best practices, processes, and skills that every salesperson needs for maximum results. Attendees of this fast-paced presentation will hear about how to brand yourself and why, social media marketing and engagement, selling strategies that blow customers away, the rigorous after-sale follow-up that nets the highest percentage of repeat and referral business, how to get customers to think of you every time they get gas, closing techniques that eliminate the need for a TO, and the ultimate customer experience that reduces showrooming and increases loyalty. I'm not sure how he's going to fit it all into one webinar, but we're certain that you shouldn't miss this chance to hear one from one of the industry's best and brightest. Are you ready to learn how to become a 30-plus car salesperson? Because this webinar isn't for the faint at heart. If you think you can handle this hour of awesomeness, then you had better register now. So don't forget, DealerOn's weekly webinars are held Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, or 9 a.m. Pacific. And we have some great webinar subjects already planned for the new year. But if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions regarding these webinars and our topics, hey, contact me directly. I love hearing from you. Again, my name is Eliana Raggio. I'm everywhere. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Google+. I'm on all the automotive social networks. So track me down online or just email me directly at Eliana@dealeron.com. Thank you all so very much for spending this time with us today, and I hope to see you all on another webinar in our continuing